My name is Ronnie S. Great for recovering addict. And first of all, I'm going to ask the God of my understanding, speaking through me, from my experience, strength and hope. And also, South Potomac area, for asking me to come out and share that. The topic. You have to forgive me because right now I'm a little nervous. I'm damn near 70 years old. And I got 22 years clean. And it's been work every day. Every day. Okay? It's been a job every day. The only requirement for membership, the desire to stop using, and live in the program. I grew up in Washington, D.C. with behavior that was already, had already picked up. The desire, what I wanted to do at that age of 10 years old, was to lie, steal, cheat, hustle. It wasn't about drugs. It was about me taking care of the feelings that I was dealing with. And I can only steal more, act out more. And my mother told me one day, I despise you at 10 years old. And I said, well, if she says she despised me, at least she says she liked me. But I had no idea that my behavior at that age had made people that they didn't want to be around me. Seven sisters, a couple of brothers, and everybody came first before me. At the age 10, I made a decision to go out and ask, never to ask her for anything again. Hated her because she was drunk. She'd work, but she'd come home and she'd drink. Christmas time, my sisters would get all these gifts and stuff, and I would get nothing. I've been self-centered ever since I can remember. You don't give it to me, I'll take it from you. I'll steal from anybody and everybody. My mama told me one day, you're not a thief, you're a rogue. I said, oh, another word I don't understand, but it seemed like she put some emphasis on it. Then I realized, she said, a rogue is steal from Jesus Christ. I said, my man, I'm talking about what I had to adapt and what I did at a young age, how I acted at a young age. Even though my family was alcoholics, and they didn't, we weren't dysfunctional. That's what they do on Friday night. They fight, they lie, they jump up, they tear up shit. And I'm saying, well, I'm going to be part of that. And I was. I decided, 12 years old, 13 years old, I didn't need an education. I went through the streets and got it. I decided they couldn't teach me nothing. And I would go out and get it the best way I could. I grew up around them people, pimps, hustlers, prostitutes. These people showed me a little love because they told me, if you do what I tell you, you can get what you need. And that's what I did. I abused women, men, dogs, didn't make no difference. Anything that crossed me, I hurt it. I hurt you because I thought you was going to hurt me. I fought the only battle that I knew. Always was a womanizer. One was never enough. Two was never enough. I didn't know what love was. I always said you could never love me like I love me. So I was always cutthroat first. I messed around here, man, after that. About 18, I decided to go in the military. I went in the military because an uncle of mine told me, he said, the type of boy you are, you need some discipline. He said, Sam gonna give you some discipline. You see, I'm the addict. And the man at that time had always said, if you ever hurt me, I'm going to leave you. I went into the Army and I bought a ticket. So if you ever cross me down there at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, I was going to get on the damn bus and come back home. My thinking, if you do something to me and I don't want to be bothered, I'm a runner. I practiced that for years. I went to Vietnam because I wanted something different. I had no idea what I was getting involved in. Through the training that they gave me. And they gave me discipline. And I'm a paratrooper. I jump out of airplanes. People say you was crazy. I said, but it wasn't nothing like that thrill. Plus, they was paying me to do it. I went through all the training that was necessary to send me to Vietnam. All the training I ever had was nothing until I got into the real deal. When I got over there and found out that the ship was real, that them bullets wasn't on TV, them people getting killed and blowed up was real, blood all over the place, and I want to tell each and every one of you, I liked it. I liked it because I had control. I carried the guns, I did what I had to do, and I spoke for me at all times. And I thought I had arrived. I did not use narcotics until the last time, part of my time coming home. Because I had seen brothers getting hurt when their mind wasn't on their job. And I said, oh, I ain't dying over here. But when it came to the end, I started using drugs. I liked it. I liked the feeling I got. I liked the things that it did to my mind. It made me feel like I'm Superman. Don't nothing bother me. Compiled on the way I was raised and to compile on what I had been involved in, I was all right. I didn't love nothing. Didn't care about nothing as long as I got my narcotics. I remember telling my brother-in-law one day, the way you see me is the way I'm going to die. That was 22 years ago. He said, what you say to me, boy? I said, I like this feeling. See, I'm a functional addict. See, I knew my hustle was to get a job. Even though I hung out with them boys jumping counters and shit like that, I said, that ain't my style. I'm a player. I'm going to get me a good government job every 2 weeks. I'm going to get mine. And I bought my narcotics. And I hung out with them and knew I bought my narcotics. I'm talking about the disease of addiction. First wife died because of my behavior. I'll never forget it. I just won't repeat it. See? That's what keeps me here. After getting here, doing some work, having some sponsors and some friends to point out where I was wrong, why I did what I did. And I could get honest with them and tell them who I was. Say, I'm all right with me. Ain't nothing I done that I won't do again if I don't watch out. See, I ain't coming up here and telling you I arrived. I'm coming up here and telling you that this is a job, a daily job, for an addict like me. See, because I'm a con man. I'm a player. See, I can dress it up. Still don't like you. I can smile in your face to get what I want. But through that step work, getting honest, trusting another man to tell my story to, trusting a woman to tell my story to. My first wife committed suicide because I said, the hell with it. She said, you're treating me like I'm a bitch. I said, that's what she is. But see, I was pimping and hustling. Man told me, when you do those things, you don't have no feelings. I said, what? He said, nigga, if you ever get to the point where you don't trust a dame and you can do what you do to her, you arrived. I said, I like that too. Because now I want 2 or 3 more of them. And I did those things. And later on in my recovery, in my addiction, God had gotten to me without my permission. I woke up one morning and I said, God, why I got to wake up the morning and start all over again? Getting on my knees praying with a hype in my arm, and I like crack cocaine, bam, the Lord, and any damn thing else I could get into me. And I like it all at once. And I would put it in me, and I'd get on my knees high, and I'd say, God, how long? But I understand my higher power. When I'm ready, I'll call for you. And I kept doing what I was doing. I kept doing it. My mother, biological mother, died from cirrhosis of the liver. I lived with my aunt who raised me like she was my mother. Threw me out when I was a kid. Told me, hit the streets. I said, how can she throw me out? But she did. I came to understand once I got in Narcotics Anonymous and I started getting in touch with the step work. Why was I here? And I used for almost 40 years. And one day I fell on my knees and I said, God, how long with a hype in my arm and a stem? My aunt, who I call my mother today, God bless her soul, she said, I don't need your money no more. You can't stay in my basement no more. You're getting paid $1,000 every 2 weeks because I had a good government job. I get paid on the third. That night I go back and tell her, look here, give me $400. I'll pay you back $700. She said, you lost your damn mind. But she took my damn $400. And she wanted her $700. And I continued to do it. Masking feelings that I had no idea I was masking. Because, see, I wore a badge that said I was proud to be a junkie. And I was proud. She took me to VA hospital and told me, I love you. This woman told me that she loved me. And I'm going to tell you, I cried getting out of her car. She said, you take your ass on in the VA hospital. And when it's time to come out, I'll be here to pick you up. And I went on in, not knowing anything about Narcotics Anonymous. Going on the gift that the God of my understanding that gave me to say, you want to stop? Let me work with you. You see, I'm the type of addict, man. And the man that I had become, I told you, when I get tired, I'm gone. But I trusted it. I trusted some feelings that I couldn't understand. Going in the VA hospital. Plus, I thought I could get paid some more money at the time. I like doing shit for money. Still do. You understand? But I went on in there. And these people welcomed me in. But they didn't play with me. Because I went into the VA hospital in Vernada at that time in Washington, D.C. And I'll say her name, God bless her soul. Carmelita. When she see me, she say, you think you're pretty and you're a pimp. I got something for you. And I say it like anything else. Ain't nothing but a woman. See, don't care how big you is, what color you is. I'm a con man. I play the game. And she suckered me in. And she told me, she said, I'm going to love you, baby. She said, well, I'm going to tell you, if you don't stop eating, you're going to die. Couldn't read that well because I shot dope and smoked crack. Oh, nobody ever went through the cop that told me I had to read any damn thing. How it worked, the steps. Oh, they went with their damn money. And I had been doing it for so long. So I had lost my mind. I had lost the ability to concentrate because I no longer was involved in anything that demanded me to think. And I stayed in there for 48 days. And every day, she'd give me this. Read who's an addict. I told her one day, I said, look, don't give me that goddamn paper no more. She said, why? And I looked at her, pride. She said, baby, you can't read that well. She said, come here. She said, every morning, I'm going to give it to you. And guess who's going to sit next to you and help you read it? She said, me. She said, by the way, you ain't the only one who can't read. And I trusted her. And she coached me. She helped me. Because she was one of the women that I liked that would tell me about me. Mm-hmm. See, I'm the type of addict when I use, I'm in control. You can't tell me nothing. You do what I say and you don't ask me no questions. See, that was the way I was brought up. Not knowing that this desire that I had asked God to give me, it was a way that He had to give it to me. See, it wasn't no laying hands on Ronnie. Shit. I had a sister to tell me, I'll take you to church and get you baptized. I said, give me $20. It sounds funny, but that was my game. I remember being baptized. And no sooner they brought me out that water, I told my sister, give me that dub. I'm talking about the disease. I can talk about me. I can tell you why I'm still here. Because I don't want to do it no more. But I can't identify what I've done. I've seen in his wounds, if you don't stay vigilant, you will do it again. I can't afford to have it happen to me again. I've achieved so much. The kicker, you might not use, but you might come in here, man, and just act a fool. You might come in here, man, and become another thief. You might be coming in here and a hoe, a liar, a fighter. And see, I came in here with those, with that 5-6 years in the meat, in the rooms. You better not say nothing to me. Don't hug me. The grit, I loved it. Don't give a damn if you hold me or not. You ain't gotta tell me nothing. And I had a sponsor that told me, let me tell you about God. And I said, oh, here we go with that. I'm talking about Ronnie. See, my thing, I went through the literature. Literature is the most valuable thing we got. But when you forget your damn story, it ain't worth a damn. It ain't worth nothing. See, that's what I got people around me to tell me. Well, you can quote it all you want to. How you living? What you doing? Are you right or are you wrong? I know you don't like it. Hell no, I don't like some of this stuff to tell me. Making amends to who? Shit. For what? My sponsor said for you. If you don't get right with God and yourself, you ain't no good to nobody else. If you don't get honest and free yourself, you're holding yourself in bondage. See? Look, I'm not, look at it, I'm going to tell you like I feel it. See, I'm the slickest MF standing up here. I'll do whatever I got to do to get you if I want you. I understand, see, I lost my soul. And if I don't watch out, I'll put myself in that trick again. See, I just told you, big ones, short ones, little ones, don't make no damn difference to me. Like a friend of mine told me, he said, Ronnie, it don't make no difference where you're pitching or catching. Your ass is in the game. I said, oh, shit. He said, then you got to decide where you at in the game. What you going to do? What are you trying to do that's different? I keep telling you, I'm the same man that done all those things. I'm the same man. Every now and then I look around and I see something and I say, I like that. Then that old man tell me in there, he said, baby, you know how to play it. But you see, I don't want to hurt nobody no more. I'm trying to live a better program. See, I don't want to do that no more. First of all, I'm scared. I'm scared of my God and my understanding. And if I steal you and you steal mine, I got feelings. Tremendous feelings. Got married and again. Love it or death. I love it or death because of the mistakes I made the first go around. I don't make no more. I tell you how good I was. I thought I was getting away with something. And I always end up being hurt. My mama told my first little girlfriend when I was about 9 years old I had a problem. I ain't never asked a girl for nothing. I take it. She told me, she said, look, I'll tell you one thing. If you hurt him, he'll hurt you back. That's my game. Now, living this here program real quick, I'll tell you. Look, every morning I pray. Every morning I say, God, your will, not mine. But I'm such a strong-hearted, independent man. Sometimes mine wake up and tell me, do this. Some mornings, gentlemen, ladies, I do it. Then I suffer the consequences. See, for me, it ain't about shooting no dope right off the bat. It's waking up and finding how unmanageable I am. I'm not living this program. For me, I wake up in the morning and realize, hey, man, I done messed up again. Got to look at my wife and look at my grandkids and tell them, granddaddy done done it again. To look at my sons and they appreciate me as a father and tell me, Pop, please don't ever use that stuff no more. Pop, I remember how you was. I'm the type of dude, man, when I act out, I demand attention from everybody in the house. I'll kick the dog in the ass, throw the goldfish out of the bowl, and tell everybody to stay in tension. Hut! That's a disease that I suffer with. But for the grace of God, this program is Narcotics Anonymous, and me working it. You got to work it every day. You got to go on and do what you got to do every day. Every day. I want to thank you for letting me share my experience, Griffin Hope. Keep coming back.